It's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new 50,000-watt radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now, here's the host of Between the Minutes, Peter Radotti.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show, brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Radotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. An area in cyber war that people are arguing about is our utilities. People claim that a cyber attack cannot disrupt our electrical grid. They are wrong. Our electrical grid is fragile and easily broken. Anything that is operated by a computer can be attacked. Computers now operate our electrical grid. Push in just the right way and you can knock out large areas of the country. Remember the blackout in New York City? The last one was proof of how fragile the electrical system is. Without electricity, there is no water. And in many urban areas, no sewer pumps means the sewers back up. I was in New York City during the last blackout. I was in a major hotel. You did not want to be on one of the lower floors since the sewers backed up, creating a health hazard in addition to an unbearable stench and mess. So we established that utilities are susceptible to a cyber attack, but will they be attacked? The answer is simple, yes. The greatest power in the world when it comes to the ability to win a cyber attack is China. The Chinese Army's cyber war group attacks the United States daily. If you're a government organization, then you get attacked more often. Even our sponsor, Cybersoft Operating Corporation, which is a local company, logs attacks against it originating from China. Recently, it was revealed that the Chinese Army, in an attack named Night Dragon, has broken into several confidential systems owned by electrical companies. They were successful in doing this for a couple of years, and it's estimated that they downloaded thousands of documents on how the electrical grid and individual power plants operate. It is prudent to believe that the Chinese Army has the ability to shut down the United States' electrical grid or most of it. There's no argument that the United States is both unprepared for cyber attack and for all practical purposes is unprepared to carry out a cyber attack. There are a lot of good reasons for this, including our size and complexity and the fact that we are a democracy without a mandatory central control of everything. What does this mean for you or your company? Planning. If you must operate during an attack, then you need to have plans for backup power sufficient enough to carry out your mission. You need to have a water tank or bottled water available to keep your employees working. You need to work with your wastewater supplier to ensure that not only do you not back up, but there's some place that waste generated in your building can go, be that a storage tank or a pipe that does not require electrical pumps to operate. Next, we're going to talk about the role of spam filters in computer security. If you use a commercial email service provider like Yahoo or Google, this should already be done for you. As you know, many email messages are nothing more than scams. Everyone should have heard about the massive break-in to the Epsilon Marketing Company in Texas. Epsilon does email marketing for major companies such as American Express, Best Buy, Citibank, Capital One, Kroger, Visa, U.S. Bank, and locally, Verizon. The crooks got away with the name, email address, and vendor affiliation information. These crooks are expected to send out targeted attacks to you. The email may look like it's coming from your bank, cell phone provider, or store, but it is coming from a crook, and if you click on the link, you will be in trouble. This is also one of the main methods used to install hostile programs on people's computers. Recently, the Internet Crime Complaint Center scam alert has put out an alert on ACH money transfer scams. Here's how you can recognize the attack in the body of the email. There will be the phrase, The ACH transaction recently initiated from your checking account by you or any other person was canceled by the Electronic Payments Association. Click on the link to view the details. Do not click on the link. If you do, it will install the ZooSpot, which is an attack software geared to steal your money. How does spam filters protect you against this? First, spam filters do more than eliminate spam. They should also block all viruses or hostile software attacks that are enclosed in the email. They should also recognize attacks like the one just mentioned and block them. A good anti-spam, antivirus, anti-scam mail scanner is critical. Another timely warning is that the Hartford Insurance Company servers were recently hacked and the password stealing program W32 Quackbot was installed. Hartford sent out a warning letter to about 300 employees, contractors, and about 10 customers who it was decided were at risk. The company is working with the Office of the New Hampshire Attorney General. Here again, a good antivirus program should have been able to detect the Quackbot program, but failing that, the server should have been protected with a cryptographic integrity program such as our sponsor's cryptographic integrity tool, also known as CIT. Programs such as this allow the system administrator to know what is happening in a server, even if the software attack program is too new for an antivirus program to detect or the program was custom written to attack a specific organization. You cannot stop crooks from breaking into any computer. No matter what you do, they will always have the advantage. You may not always be able to detect the latest software attacks, especially if the attack was custom written by an insider to attack you, but you can always know what's happening in your systems by using the appropriate tools such as CIT. This allows you to detect and delete any attacks very quickly. In addition, these tools, along with the system logs, can often point out how the crook broke into your server so you can close that hole. Finally, there are a special type of cryptographic integrity tools that include an automatic response feature. An example is our sponsor's Avatar program. Once an unauthorized change is made to a file or its permission set or its ownership, the Avatar program takes automatic corrective action. If run every few hours, this can sometimes frustrate a crook into going to greener pastures and leave your server alone. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article, Inside Your Computer, every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, Executive Director of Townwatch Integrated Services.
And this is Pete Rodadio, Between the Minutes.
And Philadelphia needs you.
Who, me?
Yes, you, Pete. We need you to get involved in your community to impact on the quality of life where you live by starting or joining a Townwatch group.
Really? How do I do that?
You reach out to me at 215-686-1459, or you reach me on the web, www.townwatch.net.
Wow, so I can really join.
You can really join. We provide training, assistance, and support, and we try to address crime in a holistic approach to improve the quality of life where you live.
Wow, that's great. Sign me up.
Join us. And become a member of the Philadelphia Town Watch program.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, talking to you about CyberSoft. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Having 20 years of experience, CyberSoft protects many platforms, including Microsoft Windows. So for the best antivirus security, visit www.cyber.com. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. For the best in protection, remember, in any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McTavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the AES YMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Come on. Yeah.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guests on Between the Minutes. This week's show will be in two parts. Our first part features Karen Brown, Republican candidate for mayor of Philadelphia. And our second part will feature David O., Republican candidate for city council at large. I also want to remind everyone it's a live show. You can call in Pennsylvania, 610-667-9697. In New Jersey, 877-667-9697. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me back.
So what has happened new since you were on the show last?
Well, we've been working on a plan, so when I take over, I'll be able to go right into business.
That's certainly enthusiastic. I mean, are you going to win the primary?
Well, you know, obviously Michael thinks so because I called him out for a debate, and now he's telling me if I can get the other two players in the game to come, he'll debate me.
Wow, that's and is part of the primary or part of the actual election?
We want to do it before the primary. I called his communication girl who didn't know who I was.
If you guys want a venue, you know, let us know. You know, if we have a slot available, maybe we can allow you and Mayor Nutter and whoever else to come on the show.
Yeah, I'd love to use this, you know, this radio station to get our voices out.
So, can you share some of your political stance with the listeners? I'm sure that they heard you last time you were here, but...
Well, I'm moving towards an open and transparent government. So I've been working with the state on issues of trying to find out where the money goes for the school board. Because if I'm going to help that situation, I need to be able to figure out why they're spending, what they're spending, and where it's going. So I figure, even though the state controls the schools, if the mayor works with the state, we can get back some of that control. Or at least motivate it in different directions. So I'm working with them. I've also worked with some contractors. I'm looking at ways to cut costs in the city, and we're looking at solar panels on the traffic lights, figuring we'll get some grant money from the federal state, from the federal government, to install them. We'll do them in grids, we'll do them in sections, but that'll, on the long haul, that'll save money with the city.
Really? I was rather under the impression that solar systems, solar cells and whatnot, were pretty much break even financially.
And not really, because right now the government is giving you grant money. Grant money the city doesn't otherwise have. So if we can generate that grant money for these solar panels, it will be, first of all, our streetlights need it. They need an update anyway. And this would give us that update. And the solar panels would take the money, put it into the grid, and run it. So we would save the cost of fueling them with electricity.
So you're saying it's worthwhile because somebody else is going to pay for it, and then you have the benefit.
There you go.
Okay. Well, hey. Geez, if I can get somebody to, paint my house for nothing, I would too.
Got to use the grant money where you can get it. I'm also looking at the grant money that they're giving for green roofs. We're using that as an incentive to give the businesses a tax rebate. We're looking at two avenues to relieve some of that business privilege tax. And if they can put a green roof in and get the grant money, we'll give them a five-year tax abatement from the business privilege tax.
Won't that hurt the city with income, though?
No, because I'm also looking to another option is to get them to hire another employee, which generates more jobs, which generates more money coming in. And we're looking at other ways to bring money into the city. I told you the last time I was on that I was going to do a big old sheriff sale with all the properties owned.
Yeah.
I intend to still do that. So that's going to bring some money in. We're looking at ways to bring money in either through grant money or through creating jobs.
You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best antivirus software security and to get 1 year of Windows antivirus protection for $24.95, go to www.cyber.com. Today we have as our guest Karen Brown, candidate for mayor of Philadelphia. Karen, there's 21 days left to election day. You know, do you have a special game plan or, you know, what are you going to do between now and election day?
I've been reaching out to the voters. Yesterday Saturday and Friday, I was in different malls giving away Easter eggs to the kids. I was in South Philly part of Saturday.
Well, wait a minute. Giving away Easter, isn't that like bribing voters?
No, I do that anyway. I did that. I always did. I'm a big kid fan, and I think
Easter. So, you know, you vote for me, I'll give you an Easter egg?
I didn't even have palm cards. We just gave out Easter eggs.
That's okay. Kids can't vote anyway, so it's all right.
It was funny because I gave it. There was three sets of kids that came up to me with no parent. And they said, can we have one? We don't have a parent. I said, sure you can. He said, who are you anyway? And I told him, I said, I'm running for mayor. He said, really? I'm going to tell my mother. I was like, there you go. I wasn't even pushing the policy thing. I always do go to the seniors at Easter time and give out the Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And I thought, why not? We'll give them to the kids as well. So I was just trying to get
Well, that's nice.
It gives me exposure. How could you, you know, Easter eggs are easy to do. People love them. Everybody loves them. People are like, why are you doing this? I said, because why not? I'll get to meet more people this way than any other way. I was in Franklin Mills, too. Franklin Mills is another place.
Yeah, you're giving something away. Everybody likes something for nothing. I mean, who doesn't?
You'd be surprised. Franklin Mills, they asked me, well, how much does this cost? I said, it's free. Free.
So instead of Happy Easter, does it say vote for me on the Easter egg?
No, I didn't even touch the egg. We got them in Five Below. They had a box of plastic Easter eggs with candy in them.
I don't know. Are we allowed to mention Five Below? Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
But there were 50 eggs in there for $5. So we bought $30 worth, and we gave them away.
Yeah, wow. Jeez. Oh. All right, so again, you're coming up to D-Day. What's your special oomph?
I'm going where the people are. We're going to be going to a local bar tonight for the Flyers game.
Well, you might as well tell us where.
Smoke Eaters. I'm going to be in Smoke Eaters tonight watching the – I'm a big Flyers fan anyway. I'm going to be watching it with a bunch of the guys that are in – mostly firemen, but in Smoke Eaters, watching it with them.
Where else are you going to be?
I am going to a senior dance. And unfortunately, I don't do ballroom dancing. My mother does, but I'm going to be trying to dance with these seniors and doing the two-step or whatever they do because they're big voters. Seniors are big voters. Tomorrow, I'm going into different schools. I'm going to reach out to the schools because they're having PTA meetings. I'm reaching out to the parents in the schools. I'm actually going to be a guest speaker at two of them. So,
do you have a website?
Yes, I do.
What's your website?
It's www.karenbrownmayor.com.
www.karenbrownmayor.com?
Yes.
Okay. If people want to ask you questions, how should they do it?
They can either go on the website and leave a message and we'll get back to you, or they can call me. There's a phone number for our office, and anytime they call, I'll address the questions.
What about campaign headquarters? Can they drop in?
Yes.
Where is it?
1713 Wolf Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19147.
I think they know the 19147 part. But okay, anyway, you still have a few more minutes to make your point. Let's just say you got one point to make, okay, and it's going to make the difference. Go ahead.
I am going to do more with less. I'm going to look at our budget, figure out where the money's been hiding, and generate it for where we need it. I'm going to keep the firehouses, the police station, and those libraries open, because I think every party that pays taxes wants them. They want to make sure the firehouse next to them is not closed, so heaven forbid they have a fire, somebody's going to address it. They want to make sure those cops have the equipment they need to do their job so that they don't have issues on the streets. And everybody wants their libraries open because everybody's got kids that needs them. So they're my three priorities. I'm always going to be doing that.
Yeah. A good point. Good one. All right. So now, above and beyond that, you said you're actually preparing to be the mayor.
Yes, I am.
What's the very first thing you're going to do?
Audit the books. 12-year audit.
Audit the books. And that audit is going to be done by who?
I'm going to not use the people that usually come in and do the mayor-to-mayor audit. I want to do my own, have my own team of CPAs coming in to actually do a 12-year audit. I don't want to go from mayor to mayor. I want to go back a couple mayors to when we actually have money and follow the paper trail. I know the recession hit us, but I think there's other things that were hidden in that recession, that they're using the recession as a blame. I want to find out where that money is and divert it where it needs to be. Because we got kids that are not being educated, we got firehouses that are shutting down, we have cops with equipment to break down. That can't happen. We have to put the money there.
At the last show, you told me about some of your affiliations. Can you repeat that?
I am the president of Southbrook Civic and YSO. And Southbrook Civic is for an area that is forgotten by most politicians. And we've serviced a good part of South Philly into Center City. And YSO is a youth senior outreach. That's another part of the demographics people forget about. Yeah, the youth can't vote, but we still need to address their issues. And the poor seniors, they vote and hope that their politicians address their issues, and unfortunately they don't. So those two groups are near and dear to my heart. I also am on Lions Club, which is for the deaf and the blind. I'm part of Epic Rage, which was for the transgender group in SEPTA. I am on South Philly Businessmen's Association. I'm on Epic Stakeholders, which was a group that the mayor put together to be the ears and eyes of the community. I am on the Civic Engineers Board, which works along with the Civic Zoning Board to see what the communities need. I also run a group called the Brotherhood, which is a union coalition group that actually works with non-union contractors and unions to come together so that they work together simultaneously in the city.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that you're also a member of one of the locals?
Yes.
Which local?
Well, I was a member of two, 33 and 47.
Okay. And are these different organizations all endorsing you, or?
The firemen came out for me, and the iron workers came out for me, and most of all, my party came out for me, the Republican Party.
But you were a Democrat originally.
Yes, I was.
And you switched sides.
That's true.
Why?
Because I believe the Democrats have lost their way, and I think the Republicans found it. So I'm on the side that found their way, and I'm going to do what the citizens are crying for. They want the spending to stop. They want to not be taxed anymore. They want their services remain open and fully funded, and I'm going to do that for them.
Wow. So you're saying the Republicans are now more Democrat than the Democrats?
No, the Democrats have become so spend crazy. They just don't realize that we can't keep doing things on credit. Eventually that bill's going to come due, and they don't want to see that. They keep hoping that there's another way to just keep financing it, and hoping more stimulus come. Mm-hmm. The Republicans see things for realistic. They know that stimulus is meant to be a Band-Aid, not the end and all end. They know better that you really can't spend more than you can bring in. You have to work within your budget. That's sort of like how I raise my kids. I didn't have tons of money to work with. You manage with what you had.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, I can't say that I disagree with you. I have to pay my bills, and if I spend more than I got, I have a problem, you know, and I really hate borrowing money. I don't mind using my credit card, but I won't buy anything on my credit card if I don't have the money to pay the bill at the end of the month.
I don't even have credit cards. I don't believe in them. If you can't make it on what you've got, then you shouldn't be buying what you're looking for. And that's a Republican viewpoint, not a Democrat one.
Well, it gets hard to buy gas with cash these days. You know, if you don't have a credit card or a debit card or something, it's really tough to buy gas because it's all self-service. Unless you go to New Jersey, you know. Yeah. So, okay. So, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a real pleasure. I enjoyed hearing what you had to say. You're listening to Between the Minutes, 1540 AM, and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com, brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes, heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti from Between the Minutes. In this season of hope, when you want your gifts to really matter, there's one gift you can always count on to save the day. A donation to the American Red Cross of Southeastern Pennsylvania. When disaster strikes, when a neighbor's house burns down, offering the comfort of a helping hand, your local Red Cross is always there. To donate, go to redcrossphilly.org or call 215-299-4000. Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, talking to you about Cybersoft. Cybersoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Having 20 years of experience, Cybersoft protects many platforms, including Microsoft Windows. So for the best antivirus security, visit www.cyber.com. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. For the best in protection, remember, in any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be The Last Man Standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. You can also friend us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BTM Radio. Let me take this time to welcome back on the show our special guest, David O., who's the Republican candidate running for city council at large. Glad to have you back.
Oh, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Okay. Believe it or not, we have a caller already. Caller, are you there?
Katie.
Uh-oh, it's Aunt Edna.
All right. What's with this? Oh, it's Aunt Edna.
Aunt Edna.
Hey, that's no way to greet your auntie.
Okay, auntie, how's it going?
Well, I just got back from vacation.
Oh, where'd you go?
I went to the Virgin Islands. It was very disappointing, though.
Why?
Not all that many virgins. There should be truth in advertising.
That's very funny, Annie.
So I understand you got somebody on now. Different person?
David O.
Hello.
David O what?
That's his name, David O.
Oh, I was hoping it was David O. Selznick. I was going to ask for my close-up. No, I'm sorry. That was Mr. DeMille. I get them all confused nowadays.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It's been a long time since you were on the silver screen.
Yes, it has been. It's actually, nowadays, it's kind of a little tarnished screen, but, we won't go there.
Okay, and Edna, thank you for calling.
Okay, take care, Petey. Right. And you too, Mr.
Oh. All right. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, is that your real aunt?
Shh.
Okay.
Okay, David. Can you share with some of the listeners some of the information about your campaign? What's been going on since the last time you were here?
Well, we're pretty much in the thick of the campaign, and it tightens up right now, just 3 weeks before May the 17th, Tuesday, May the 17th, Election Day. There's 9 candidates running, and ultimately the Republican voters have to choose 5, and that's going to happen on Tuesday. So my button number is number 25, and I tell people we don't get much for a quarter anymore, so put a quarter in your pocket to remind you to vote for me on Tuesday, May 17th, and press button number 25.
There you go. That's actually kind of clever, 25 cents quarter.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, we're always trying to think of some way to remind the voters, you know?
Okay. All right. So why should people vote for you?
Well, I think that people are very interested at this point in time in the future of Philadelphia in terms of the direction that we're going. Number one, I think people have seen legislation come out of City Hall and they scratch their heads. For example, we recently had legislation that was called Ban the Box. That means if you're an employer and you want to hire someone, there's a little checkbox section which says that if you've been convicted of a crime. And I know some good-hearted people said, well, we should get rid of that box because that way employers will be somewhat forced to interview everyone, including convicted felons, and that's going to help these people get jobs. And that may be a way to look at it, but I think that is the wrong way to look at it. That is telling people who want to be employers that the city government, City of Philadelphia, is going to get into your business and that they're going to try to disguise the way that you hire people or screen people. And ultimately, it's because we have a lot of felons and we have a lot of people that are not really qualified in this city. I think it sends a wrong message. We've also increased taxes in this city. For many of the listeners, they know that they got a temporary 9.9% real estate tax increase. And now that temporary nature of it, that's in question. Is it going to be permanent? And I believe it is very important that these temporary taxes be temporary. In other words, it's a matter also of the government having credibility for both the residents of the city and also for businesses that want to come here or stay here. We are very much in need of reducing our taxes as a way of bringing new businesses to Philadelphia. So we have a myriad of problems people read about in a newspaper, and they're saying to themselves, who's going to go out there and really fight these things? And if they want a fighter, I would say vote for me.
Well, there's no doubt that you are a fighter. I mean, could you mention for our audience a little bit of your military career?
Oh, sure. I mean, I started out in the DA's office, and I was a trial attorney there, and I would go in a courtroom and battle it out in the courtroom on behalf of the victims and the citizens of Philadelphia. And then I wanted to join the Army, and I wanted to go in to the Airborne. So what I did was I entered the Army as a private, went to Fort Dix, and then I went to Officer Candidate School. And when I was in the Infantry Officer's Basic Course, I was fortunate enough to get connected to the 20th Special Forces Group, and I joined them, and they sent me to Jump School and then to the Special Forces Assessment and Selection Program, where I was my MOS was 18 Alpha with the 20th Special Forces Group. That is Alpha Team Detachment Assistant Detachment Commander.
I have a lot of respect for Airborne and especially Special Forces, but I was a pilot. And pilots never jump out of a working airplane.
It's probably a good thing that pilots don't want to get out of the plane, and they like to stay with the plane.
And actually, your best option is that in a crash,
yes,
it's the pilot that's up front. He sees it first.
So oh, is that right? All right.
You know, when people are worried about the airplanes, I just say, listen, the pilot doesn't care about the guys in the back. He
right,
cares
right.
about him. He's the first to land.
Right, right. So he's going to make sure everybody's okay.
Right, right, right. That's actually, you know, pretty impressive, and I think it should go far as telling people a little bit about you, the fact that, you know, you gave up a career to join the Army, that you made it in the Special Forces, which is no small feat.
Well, yeah, I do appreciate that, Pete, and I'll say, listen, I joined a reserve unit, National Guard unit. You know, I mean, they go up full-time. We're called up for Operation Desert Storm the first time. I won't say that I've done all kind of things. I'm always a little embarrassed by the fact that I'm the chairman of the 82nd Airborne chapter here in Philadelphia, because my guys are real heroes. And compared to them, you know, I'm just a young guy, you know, relatively, who's not seen a lot of much in the military, and I respect them so much. But I'm proud to serve, and I'm proud of anybody who served in any capacity.
No, I agree with you completely, and I'm sure these guys are going to support you in your election. Tell me, do you think you're going to get the nod from the primary?
Yeah, I think so. I think we have nine candidates running, all very good people. There isn't a candidate that isn't someone who doesn't offer the voters, you know, something good.
But let's face it,
right.
It's time for you.
I think it is time for me. I think, you know, I'm going to be one of the five who make it past the primary. And I think I'm going to be in the top two. I think that the voters, probably many of them, remember that that I've been at this for a while. So when we talk about fighter, I ran when you know, it was there was not much chance of winning. I stuck with it in 2007. I had that win in 2007 for
yeah.
For
I
a day.
Think that was really upsetting. You actually won, and
yes,
then they took it away from you. You were cheated.
Yeah, I won by 7 votes out of 120,000 votes cast, and the next day they told me that the election board never actually distributed or even counted any of the absentee ballots.
And oh, by the way, we forgot to count these. Yeah,
right,
you won,
right.
But oh no, you didn't win.
Yeah, it's a kind of a strange thing when you think about it. In other words, the election's over, and then somebody says, well, you know what, it's not over, because even though we're supposed to count all the votes on Election Day, we haven't counted these 2,500 votes. And so a couple weeks later, I lost by 122, and so I knew I would come back to fight this out this time.
Well, you know, it's not just me saying it. I think it's your time. Plus, you were cheated last time. You actually won and didn't get to serve. I think that's the karma is in there for you. But you also have the support of Bishop Goines.
I've got a lot of support, and what's interesting is when I first ran, I did have the endorsement of the Republican Party, but as I said, there's 5 that get endorsed, and only 2 ultimately are going to win in November the way that the registrations are.
Yeah, I know what it is. So, you know, 5 go in, 2 come out.
Right,
you know,
right. So what happens, I was endorsed but not really supported, and then when I ran in 2007, I challenged an incumbent, and so I was on the other side of everybody. But this time, I have very strong support from both the Republican City Committee and its ward leaders, and the reform ward leaders who are also trying to bring about change in Philadelphia.
Who are some of the organizations supporting you?
Let me see. The Fraternal Order of Police, the firefighters, the Teamsters, the Stage Handlers, Local 8, the Philadelphia Association, this Philadelphia School Police Association, the Black Clergy of Philadelphia and Vicinity, the Pentecostal Clergy PAC, the Greater Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce, PennPAC, and the Greater Philadelphia Realtors Association. And they and those two organizations are not allowed to endorse. What they do is they support.
Okay. I can't think of anyone you left out.
There might be a couple here and there, but it's only because I can't really remember if I don't have a list. They're all important. Yeah, as soon as I say that, because, you know, I'm really grateful for the endorsement, and I'm very proud of the endorsement. So, yeah, I forgot the Fraternal Order of Housing Police and the Guardian Civic League of Philadelphia, and I just got a call today from the Transit Police, and I did forget that the Transit Workers Union Local 234 endorsed me.
Wow, that's really exciting.
Well, I'm very proud of that, Peter, and I think it's not just because like I got an ego. I'm proud of it because what it means is when I have an ability to have the support of both labor and of business, from developers and businessmen and entrepreneurs, as well as workers, it means that I'm in a position to talk to all the important sides about how we develop Philadelphia's economy. And to be honest with you, people oftentimes say, well, a person who's got such diverse support, he must be saying something different to each group in order to try to gain their support. And in my case, that is absolutely not true. What is important is that I tell the same thing to the same groups of people, and what it means is that we have more in common. So whether it's a business person who wants to make a lot of money and develop Philadelphia, or an organization that represents working people, what they both understand is in order for both of them to be satisfied, we have to have a good business environment and people have to be successful.
That's true. And quite honestly, I mean, I've only known you, what, about a year now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would never expect you to lie to people, to tell one group one thing and another group another thing.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, people who do that are silly because they have no respect for the people they're talking to, because it gets around.
Right.
People find out.
Right, right. I will say that I agree with you 1,000%. I've been running since 2003. I meet various types of people. I, you know, have different conversations. And at the end of the day, they can compare notes with each other, and I've said the same things. Every time I go in to meet people, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know if at the, you know, they're going to say, well, no. And many times when they ask me a question, I answer it. They say, well, you didn't give us the answer we wanted, and so we're not going to support you. And I understand that. That's not a big deal to me. That's fine. I don't need to support me for the wrong reasons. But I agree with you, and it's, I think the people in this city are tired of people who don't tell them the truth. I could say something and people will say, well, we disagree with you, we don't like you, but at least, you know, we know where you stand with us and we stand with you. And I find that to be just a better way of doing things.
Well, anyone who says they don't like you doesn't know you. Maybe they don't like your policies,
right,
that you've said, but, you know, clearly that's...
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
So tell me, why should somebody vote for you in the primary?
Well, I think in the primary, it's really a matter of Republicans voting for Republican candidates.
I know, but you have to talk to them, and you got to
sure.
Open mic.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell them. Why should they vote for you and not the other guy?
Well, I think because one is that if they ask around, I am a person who is credible, I have integrity, and I do what I say. And what I say I'm going to do is I'm going to go in to office, should I win, and I'm going to start with introducing and pushing for and fighting for legislation to reform our tax structure, to lower our business privilege taxes, to put us on a plan that we will stick with, where we will incrementally lower the city wage tax. I will also want to reform our regulations I want to really deal with the schools as well, and crime. I believe that we can approach crime in a new way in our city, which will make our city a safer place to live in.
All right. Same question I always ask when somebody says they're going to lower the taxes. Where's the money going to come from to run the government?
Well, the thing about lowering taxes is really that if you, when you lower taxes, there's two things that could happen. One is that you have less money because you've lowered the tax incrementally, and there's been no response. So, for example, to make it simple, if I'm one of five bars and everybody sells dollar beers, you know, on happy hour, and I sell $1.75 beers during happy hour, you know, I may have a group of people who are coming to my bar, but they're probably coming there for reasons other than the $1.75 beers.
Right.
Whereas everybody else's bar is full of people, and they keep growing with more and more people because they have dollar beer. So I say to myself, gee, I have to lower my price. So what I'm going to do is, instead of having $1.75 beers, I'm going to have $1.65 beers. Well, I've lost a dime on the money that I was already making, and I haven't gotten any new customers. So for us, when we deal with our taxes here in Philadelphia, we can't lower it incrementally, and we can't lower them arbitrarily. What happens is we have to look at the industries, for example, pharmaceutical, technology, innovative industries, healthcare type entities, filmmaking for tax credits, development of new areas in our city, which for the businesses that we want, we have to lower the taxes so that we are competitive. If our high taxes are preventing new money and new businesses from coming in, new jobs, jobs that pay people to bring money into their neighborhoods, then those taxes are prohibitive. Now, when people tell me we're just going to across the board cut taxes, yeah, you can't do that because you don't have any money. The whole point of a tax reduction strategy is to make your region and your city competitive. And we're really not. We're one of the highest taxed cities in the nation with corresponding problems. So, for example, if you were to kind of take five steps back, and you were looking as a major employer, and you were looking at the United States and figuring out where you wanted to go, you'd find some rich areas. And what I mean in terms of a good place to be, good for your business, and then you'd look at the data. The data for Philadelphia is that you're paying more in taxes and you're making a lot less profit. And that's the first thing that you see, which means both you, your investors, and your workers are not happy about that. The second thing you see is we're the second highest crime-ridden city among the major cities in the United States, and we have sometimes been first at that. That tells you you have problems and other issues. The next thing you see is we have over 45% dropout rate in our public schools. And that tells you that you don't have a very good workforce, that you're going to have social issues and problems. And then you see city council increasing taxes, increasing real estate taxes, reducing services, and then you see corruption and other types of problems in the city, along with city council starting to get into your business about how many sick days you're going to pay for, how you're going to interview people, what you're going to do. And that just tells you, don't come to that city. And I think that is the wrong message, because more than anything, people in our neighborhoods need jobs, they need good jobs, and they need good opportunities.
Do people really view us in that way?
Yeah, they do. They really do. I mean, it doesn't mean that everyone does. There's some really good opportunities here, and I'd say we have some good opportunity here because of our geographic location, because of the industries we used to have, because of the innovative people and many of the diverse things that we have in this city. We're also very fortunate to have a new group of young people, students, graduates coming to our city every year because of our many universities. But when you look at what is detrimental about our city, that is also significant.
Wow. Well, there are a lot of advantages. I mean, we are geographically in a perfect position to serve the entire Mid-Atlantic.
Yes.
We have an available workforce.
Yes.
We have a lot of colleges and universities, probably more than any other city.
Right.
Our bankers are a little conservative, okay?
Right.
But that's not necessarily bad. At least you know your money's not going to, I don't know where.
Right.
But, you know, I think I understand what you're saying, and you're saying that you can correct that through restructuring the taxes?
Not in and of itself, not all by itself. There's no like one answer to everything. But I think what happens is you have to look at the framework, and you being a scientist, computers and all that, you understand this. You have to look at the framework first. If it's a good framework, you can build within it. It will attract, investment and growth. So for example, we have 1.5 million people. We were a city of over 2 million people, and we are challenged to increase our population back to about 2 million people because the weight of the city for 1.5 million is too heavy. That is the infrastructure is too heavy, the amount of housing that's available that's not occupied, and the few and too few people paying taxes and being productive. The other thing is that we have to look at household income. And once again, we have a 25% of our population living under the poverty rate. It makes us one of the poorer cities in the United States in terms of major cities. And that has really two effects. One is with a poor population like that, it means that we have a lot of burdens placed upon our city in terms of caring for people's homes, livelihoods, and resulting crime and other issues. We don't have the tax revenues. The second thing is we don't attract people or businesses that come in based on the ability of the population to purchase, So that's one of the things that affects us as a city. So me, as a candidate for city council at large, I'm primarily looking at increasing our population, which means we have to create a city that retains its population, that attracts new population. That means we're a good city. People want to come here. The second thing is we have to increase the household income. People need to have money in their pockets, and that means jobs and opportunities in our city, lower taxes, and greater opportunities for their children.
Well, I think that's all a good thing. But you mentioned a number of problems that you feel are what's keeping us from the growth that we deserve.
Right.
Okay? This is a fantastic city, and we deserve to be recognized as a fantastic city.
Absolutely.
What are you going to do about crime if you're elected mayor? If you're elected to city council, what are you going to do? In the future, maybe.
I'm going to help whoever's mayor and whoever. One of the things I'll say is this. The problem didn't happen overnight. There's a lot of frustrated people who've been watching this same pattern going on. And so to resolve this issue, we cannot really just do one thing. But we have to start. So, for example, with crime, I think we have to have a common sense approach to crime. The first thing I'd say is, look, there's really two types of crimes that are problematic for us in the city. One is violent crime, the type of crime where someone pulls a gun on you, they pull a knife on you, they rape somebody. That's the first type of crime that we have to be worried about. So for me, if we take the total amount of prison space that we have, I'm going to clear out, as a legislator, I want to see the prison space prioritized so that I can take those offenders and lock them up with high bail or no bail so that I could push for speedy trials, get them convicted if there's the evidence for them, fair trials, but if they're convicted, they'll be shipped off to the state. That way we drop a heavy hand on crime, and we have to make people understand you can't do those violent crimes in our city. The second kind of crime, it may be more minor, but those are quality of life crimes. That could be the crack prostitute that keeps hanging on your steps. That could be the person throwing bottles in the back of your yard. Those are things that drive people crazy, and those kind of crimes which really offend people and cause them to just hate where they live. That is a second priority for me. So I don't care if it's juveniles, adults, motorcycle gang, whoever they are, I want our police to focus on that group because people, they don't want to come to a home where they can't live in peace. Whatever the type of lifestyle they have in their community, we have to preserve it and protect it. And that's how we're going to retain our population.
David, what type of reaction are you getting from the voters? I mean, you've been out there, you're getting your message out, you're meeting a lot of people. What kind of reaction are you getting?
I'm getting a very good reaction. I'm very encouraged by the reaction. A lot of Republicans, they know who I am, and they know that I've run. They've watched me, basically stand up. They've watched me take a beating, and they've watched me, come back. So they like that. They've heard me say these things, these same things, since 2003. I've not changed my message. I basically have a very fundamentally sound Republican approach to how we should, introduce legislation to run our city. And then in terms of Democrats and independents, even though they can't vote for me in the primary, they do tell me, you know, it's your time. Just what you said. It's funny. It's your time. It's your turn. In the general election, you got my vote. And I appreciate that because it means that they do care about the city. They do think about me personally, which I'm indebted to them for that. And they do want to see a change. And they're looking forward to something better for the future of Philadelphia.
Wow. We still have a little more time left. So I'm going to ask you a simple question.
Sure.
Okay. It's the bottom of the ninth.
Yep.
Okay. Let's say you had one shot at convincing everyone to vote for you and not the other guy. Okay? Go ahead.
I'm going to go in fight. I don't believe in doing anything halfway. If there isn't blood on the floor, I haven't tried. So whatever common sense thing needs to be done, I assure you, you will get 110% out of me, and I will not rest until the job is done.
Well, I'll tell you what, I liked what you just said. I liked the part about fight and blood on the floor, and I absolutely love the words common sense.
Yes.
Because common sense is not very common, you know?
Right.
So, well, all right. So, do you have a website?
I do. It's davido.com, DAVIDOH. And again, my button number is 25. The most important thing I got to tell voters. You know, there's so many candidates. Just remember, 25, put a quarter in your pocket and say, this quarter's for David O. It can't buy me much, but hopefully it'll get me some good, honest, efficient government.
Well, that's a big purchase. You know?
Yeah.
Efficient, honest government for 25
sure.
cents? Yeah, give me $10 worth. Okay. So, all right. You know, the thing is, I just want to see this happen for you. It's your time. It really is your time. Everybody's endorsing you. I can't believe, short of a major, how do I say this, manipulation.
Right, right, right.
I can't see you not getting the nod.
I feel strong. I feel good. And I'm going to work hard. And by campaigning hard and working hard, I want to show the voters that if I'm elected, I will work hard all the way through.
Wow. All right. So you got one more thing you can say. Go ahead.
Well, what else can I say? I mean, for the future of our city, for yourselves, for your family. I mean, so many people are discouraged because of the economy and other issues. But don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Be uplifted. Get out there and make the difference that you know you can make. Because I believe in this city, I know you do, and I believe that we can do this together.
Folks, everybody has their own opinion, but I'm going to tell you that I believe him. I believe everything he said, and I think he'll make a great city councilman. As far as I'm concerned, he has my support.
Well, thank you.
So I want to tell everyone that the show today on Tuesday is going to rerun again at 6 p.m., and then it's going to rerun on Monday at 7 p.m., so you have two more chances. In addition to going to our website at www.betweentheminutes.com. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. We'll be back next week with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The following program is brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.